The Celtics picked up two wins over the weekend, and apparently the bubonic plague is rolling through the Celtics locker room. It's the Monday Locked On Celtics podcast. Millie's, let's go! Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This is the truth like 34. Yeah. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Happy Monday, first full week of 2020. Back to reality. I'm sorry that you have to get back to this reality of work week and all of that stuff. But I'm John Corrales. I'm here to help you out, get you through this week, get you off on the right foot here. The Celtics won two games over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, over Atlanta and Chicago. They play the Washington Wizards here Monday night. And their crazy January schedule rolls on. First off, thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. It's a new year, and I'm just happy that this is still part of your, whatever you're doing at this moment. If you're going to work, the gym, and all of that stuff. New listeners, if you're new to the show, I want to thank you for sampling. Maybe you're a Patriots fan. Welcome aboard, Patriots fans who now have to focus on another sport. Maybe you want to check out Locked On Bruins. There's a Bruins podcast. If you want to hear the aftermath of the Patriots, what happens with Tom Brady, there's a Locked On Patriots. But if you're coming over from Locked On Patriots, you want to check out what's going on with the Celtics, welcome aboard. Subscribe to the show wherever podcasts are available. Hope you enjoy that. Again, I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics for MassLive.com. I'm a beat writer. I'm a former basketball player. So hopefully you enjoy a unique perspective on this team. The Celtics are dealing with illness now. Kemba Walker missed two games, the Hawks and Chicago game, and he is not playing against the Washington Wizards. Now, you might be tempted to say, oh, well, this is perfect. You just, you know, he's quote-unquote sick, air quotes, and you get him to rest for a few days and you start... You get him back at home against San Antonio on Wednesday, and then you really get him rested and back in rhythm for the Thursday game in Philly. Except, I don't think it's air quotes. I think that this is just the thing that's going through the Celtics. And frankly, it's going through everybody. Like, reporters, I missed the practice last week. I missed the practice and shoot around on Friday because I was sick, and I think it had to be related to what was going on there. Lots of people are sick around the Celtics. And yes, to answer some of your tweets, there's Purell everywhere. So it's just the thing. Like, the illness is going around. Different people are getting it, and it's just something that these guys just have to deal with. Jaylen Brown, I saw Jaylen Brown in the Hawks game blowing his nose on the sideline. Like, he's still dealing with the remnants of that sinus infection. So Marcus Smart's still not back fully from his eye infection. He's still kind of dealing with the aftermath of that. And now Romeo Langford's questionable for the Washington game. So all sorts of just craziness with the Celtics and this sickness bug that's rolling through the entire locker room. I don't know what can be done about it. I mean, short of just sanitizing everything top to bottom every day, which is impossible to do, you've got 15 players, coaches, whatever, dozens of people in a confined space going all over together. People go home, they've got kids. The kids are in school or the kids are in daycare. The sickness just makes its way in somehow. People might be contagious before they even realize that they're contagious. And all these people are the kids are sick. They come home, whatever. You go to work. And how many of you do it? Kids are cold, got a cold. Kids got the flu. Yeah, I got to go to work. Same thing for these guys. Got to go to work. And they just happen to be in a confined space in a locker room. slamming up against each other in practice through drills, guarding each other. It's just, oh God, it's insane. One of these guys, I don't even want to finish that thought. It's, these guys are just sick, and hopefully they can get better and healthy. Luckily, the two games were Atlanta and Chicago, and this is Washington. San Antonio is going to be a tougher challenge. Philly, obviously, they're looking for their first win against Philly. That's going to be a big test. Philly hasn't been playing well. This is an opportunity for the Celtics, hopefully, to be at full strength, to go into Philly and maybe prove something against the Sixers. Everybody's talking about the, you know, potential trades, and I mentioned last week Andre Drummond. It's funny, I mentioned Andre Drummond. I said, if somebody brings up Andre Drummond, I want to punch you in the face. And then it was rumors linking the Celtics to Andre Drummond. Interest, registering interest in Andre Drummond. And no, thank you. No thank you in that regard. I've already said it. I'm not going to repeat myself too much here, but no thanks. So they got to go into Philly on Thursday and prove a little bit of something. Now let's work backwards. Friday, Saturday, they played against the Chicago Bulls. That was an interesting game. They came out slow. They gave up a ton of baskets to Zach LaVine, but they ended up coming back and they looked like they were going to cruise. They turned it on, and in the fourth quarter, they started to pull away, and they were pulling away in transition, and they were up something like 16 or 18. I think it was 16 with just about 10 minutes left. And just when you thought it was like, all right, cool, we got this, we're going to coast to the end, Chicago, boom, 13-0 run. And then all of a sudden, the Celtics stepped up and Chicago didn't score for like 4 minutes. So the Celtics did just enough on a back-to-back to get that win. Chicago was favored in that game. So if you're looking back at that and you say, oh God, I can't believe that it took all of that to win this game. You know, when it came down that Kemba wasn't playing, the Bulls actually ended up favored going into that game. So it wasn't a gimme for the Celtics. It's not like they walked in there favored by 20. So that was a decent win. Chicago, obviously, you look at the way they were playing, they are probably a little bit better than the record shows, just because they have the talent and they play well enough for stretches that you can see if they put it all together, they'll be better. I remember before the season, people were saying like Chicago's a team to kind of watch out for, and you could see a little bit. Now they've had their issues for sure, but you can see a little bit of like, all right, you know, a couple things here, this, you know, forget this lapse and play through certain things that they kind of like quit on in this game. You could see like if they just put that full 48 together, they would have won that game. But the Celtics kept the pressure on and ended up winning. Some other notes there. Obviously, the big note there is Jason Tatum's bounce back. The big game for him. He shot 12 of 15, 28 points in 36 minutes. That follows up a terrible 2 of 16 performance against the Atlanta Hawks, which I'll talk about later. But you put those two games together, and he shot like 46% over the course of the two games. But this game alone, he ends up shooting 80% and scores 28 points. People are going to want to say, well, why can't he be more consistent? Well, he's a third-year player. So we do want the consistency. We do, obviously. We'd rather see him have fewer big wild swings with the shooting. All right. That, like, I'm not going to pretend that that's not a problem, but it's also something that is correctable. And you can see that every time he has a bad game or two, he follows it up with some good games. So just working backwards, he followed up the Atlanta game with a good game against Chicago. He had a bad game against Toronto, but then he followed up with a good game in Charlotte, where he shot 10 of 18 and had 24 points. He had a bad night in Toronto on Christmas Day, 11 points on 5 of 18 shooting, and then he followed it up with a win, 30 points in the win over Cleveland on 11 of 20 shooting. So he has these bounce backs. Even like you go back to at Indy and then against Philly, where he had a couple of bad games, and then at Dallas was not a great shooting night. Then he follows it up with a couple of nights where he hits 10 of 17 and 15 of 29. So point is, yes, he has games where he's really struggling. And a lot of it has to do with his finishing at the rim and the stuff that I've talked about many times and having to be more patient. Brad Stevens talks about, he talked about it after the Atlanta game, slowing down a little bit, being more patient, playing off of 2 feet. It's funny, I kind of stumbled across something I wrote about Jaylen Brown last year, and I was looking at some of the clips that I used, and they look like Jason Tatum drives from this year. And you start to say, okay, like maybe they're just on kind of a similar developmental path where Tatum is, as Brad Stevens said, you appreciate the aggressiveness. He's attacking. He is attacking. But he's not always doing it in the best way. He's not always patient. He's not always attacking because there's an opening. Sometimes he's attacking just to attack. Now, the one good thing against Atlanta, he did get 10 free throws. So that's good. That's how he managed to score 13 points while still shooting 2 of 16. So there's a positive there. And at some point, this will hopefully click. And so I just don't want to go too crazy about, oh my God, what's wrong with Jason Tatum? Why can't he hit layups? Like, yeah, that it's a problem. When he doesn't hit the layups, it looks bad, comically bad. But when he calms down, slows down, and plays off of 2 feet, you know, when you're slowing down, you can jump off of the 2 feet rather than just flying on in. Like that stuff, he tends to shoot a little bit better. So he's a third-year player. He's 21 years old. You know, he's going to be 22 in a couple months here. It's part of the progression. I don't think the layups that he's missing are layups that he's going to miss forever. So I'm going to stay patient. He's still averaging 21 points a game. He's still averaging 7 rebounds. The Celtics are still in second place. So more from the game coming up against Chicago, then later Atlanta, and more. But for now, take a break. Come back after this on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
A couple of other performances here that need to be noted from the Saturday night game against Chicago. Gordon Hayward, who had a pretty spectacular night and was very under the radar with 24 points on 9 of 14 shooting, 2 of 4 from 3, 4 of 4 from the line, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal. Did have 3 turnovers. The Celtics have been turning the ball over a lot more lately. That's something that needs to stop. Like, that's just period, end of sentence. Just need to stop turning the ball over. The live ball turnovers in the half court they need to be better about those. I don't mind some of the aggressive, try to get the ball up in transition turnovers. That you can live with a little bit more because you're trying to push the ball and get those easy baskets. As long as you're not making stupid plays, if you're trying to be aggressive, that's fine. But in half court, where they're really just trying to force the issue sometimes, and those live ball turnovers turn into points, they need to be better about that. But Gordon Hayward quietly had a 24-point game, and a lot of the talk afterwards was about Jason Tatum. So Hayward's play, I think, has been very stabilizing. And a lot of times, you know, without Kemba, they have this, you know, tendency to play a little bit too fast, and everybody just kind of like, all right, this isn't working. I'm going to go do my thing a little bit. And I love Marcus Smart, and Marcus Smart has done a great job handling the offense. I think sometimes Marcus Smart gets a little too caught up in some of the emotions, and of course he's coming off of that double eye infection, so I think he's still having some issues on top of that. I think Marcus Smart's emotions definitely were a problem in the Atlanta game. Again, I'll talk about that after the break, but Gordon Hayward calms things down. Gordon Hayward has this, just pull it back out. I am aware of how much time is on the shot clock. Let's just calmly run something real quick. We'll get a decent shot. Don't worry about it. Like that's the Gordon Hayward effect. The Gordon Hayward on the floor makes positive things happen. And in this game, he was a plus 15. So for all of the, you know, up and down of the game against Chicago, where they won by seven, Gordon Hayward was a plus 15. And it felt like he was a plus 15. Like that, he was on the floor for positive things happening. He was a stabilizing force. And I think that's something that is, that Gordon Hayward gives the Boston Celtics. And they don't have that kind of stabilizing force as much without Kemba, for sure. But you need that. And for all the people who are talking about like, well, now you got to move Gordon Hayward. You can move Gordon Hayward for Andre Drummond or something like that. Like, just no, you're not trading Gordon Hayward for, especially not for a big, especially not for something like that. So let's get that talk out of your mind. The other is Jaylen Brown, another quietly good game. Jaylen Brown, under the radar. I mean, he had 19.7 rebounds. He had four turnovers. So again, clean that up. But 19.7 rebounds, three assists, 7 of 13 shooting, an economy of shots. So he hit about 54% of his shots. He shot 60% from three, 3 of 5, hit a couple of free throws. It's just another nice game for Jaylen Brown. And Jaylen was at the center of, like, he did it in little bursts, and he was at the center of a couple of runs where he scored a few quick points. It was like the Celtics needed a couple of baskets, and it was Jaylen, like, boom, 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 six straight points. So it's just another example of his patience and how easy it is to just sit back, chill, not force the issue. And then all of a sudden, a couple of steals, play your defense, get out in transition, you get a couple of layups, dunk, floater, three in transition. Like, those add up fast. So you could be not scoring much, and then all of a sudden, six straight points, and then a few points here, a few points here, you get yourself a 19-point night. You know, so 20 is the magical number to average, but guys can get to 20 fairly easily if they're not forcing the issue. If you can just calm down when you're as good as Jaylen Brown is, those points will come. Enes Kanter. How about Enes Kanter? We keep talking about Enes Kanter. He's been pretty good. He's been good. Third consecutive double-double. The first Celtic to have three straight double-doubles this year. He's averaging almost 15 points and a little bit more than 12 rebounds over the Celtics' three-game winning streak. Just, I mean, I don't know what to say. He is who he is. We know the defensive deficiencies. But the ability to take advantage, like he did in Chicago, when you got a guy that's not strong enough and he's trying to guard Enes in the post, you bully your way to the basket and it just do it until it doesn't work. There have been a lot of conversations about post play in the NBA, and it's not something that they should go to all the time. But, you know, on a second unit, when things aren't going great, and maybe a couple of guys in there are younger and the offense is a little disjointed, How many times last year did I say with Al Horford, sometimes you just got to get it to him in the post and let him work and just calm the offense down. Just get into the post and just go. There's nothing wrong with the occasional post up. It's not the centerpiece of the offense. You do it. If it works, you get the right matchup, you keep doing it and it keeps working, then great. But it worked. And on top of the offensive rebounds, Kanter was able to get in there and score in the post. I mean, he had 14 points, 11 rebounds in this game, shot 6 of 11. That's what more do you want from Enes Kanter? He didn't kill you on defense. Like, he's been on the floor, and the Celtics defense hasn't totally suffered. Now, it did a little bit against Atlanta, but, and I'll talk about that next, but there are certain situations where obviously Enes Kanter can't play, and I've said this before, but he hasn't been killing the Celtics on defense. Not for extended periods. There will be possessions where he looks horrible, but it hasn't been extended periods for the most part. He's done well. What am I going to say? He's done well. And before I take a break, Grant Williams. Got to shout out Grant Williams because Grant has been just really good. And I thought his play against Chicago was really great. I mean, I thought he had a very good game. He only shot 2 of 4. He had 5 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Was a +8, though. And that's, in fact, +8 team high with Gordon Hayward. Both +8. Grant had a couple of plays that just deserve highlighting. First of all, he had one where the Celtics were setting up in a half court. And he brought the ball up. They ran a horn set with 2 guys at the top of the key at each end of the free throw line. And he brought the ball up. Now, you get the ball from that point to your primary guy, which was Jason Tatum. They wanted Jason Tatum to operate from that left elbow, but you still had Grant Williams bringing the ball up. And then he had a steal, and I think it was in the first half, a steal that he got up to Marcus Smart. Then he ran past Marcus Smart and set up in the corner, and he made a 3 from the left corner, which, hey, by the way, Grant, since his 0 for 25 streak there from 3, is shooting like 36% from 3. So he's turned it around. I don't know what the whole percentage is. I don't have that up. I don't care. But since he broke that streak, he's shooting like 36%. So he's coming around for sure. The other play that I thought was amazing, he switched on to Thaddeus Young. And this was in the third quarter against Chicago. Stayed in front of him, poked the ball free, dribbled up the floor, brought the ball up, and then threw this two-handed bounce pass perfectly, like an overhead two-handed bounce pass perfectly to Enes Kanter. And at that point, gave Boston their biggest lead of the game. But that was, I'm gushing about Grant Williams. He makes mistakes. And I mean, I can sit here and talk about the mistakes that he's making. The thing about Grant Williams is he works on the mistakes, and he's not repeating a lot of them. So, but these plays that he's been making, just amazing for a rookie to come out there and play the way he has. I mean, he's not John Morant. I'm not going to say that, you know, but he's a very useful rookie. There will be games where he's not, and there will be stretches where he's not, but he's shown just incredible basketball acumen, and I'm excited. He's just the type of player every basketball team needs. All right, now I'm going to take a break. I'm going to come back, talk a little bit about that Atlanta game before we wrap up here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. On Friday night, the Boston Celtics beat the Atlanta Hawks 109-106. They came out looking terrible. John Collins was destroying them. They went down 32-19. And luckily, Jaylen Brown at the end of the first quarter came up with a big defensive play, a big offense, a big basket, and then a big defensive play after that to kind of reset things and help the Celtics kind of get their energy back and turn things around in the second quarter. Tatum, as we said before, had a terrible game, 2 of 16 for 13 points. Jaylen Brown was the star of this game, really. 8 of 13, 24 points, 7 of 10 free throws, 10 rebounds, 6 turnovers. Jaylen Brown's been turning the ball over a little bit lately, okay? I'm not going to go too crazy. I think some of it is trying. He might be trying a little bit too hard. He might be trying to, in certain times, carry things, and he's just not the guy that's going to be carrying the team quite like, you know, like Jason Tatum can carry the team, create his own shot a little bit better than Jaylen Brown can. Jaylen Brown is great at attacking when those spots are open. I think he's better at driving than Tatum is right now, but I think sometimes he tries to do a little bit too much and he ends up getting a little sloppy with the ball. 4 turnovers against Chicago, 6 against Atlanta, and then, you know, 3 against Toronto, 3 against Cleveland, 3 against Toronto on Christmas Day. So he's got a long stretch of 3 or more turnover games, 5 straight games with 3 or more turnovers. He had one game there with 2, and then another 3, 4, 5 game stretch with 3 or more turnovers. So 10 out of his last 11 games, he's had at least 3 turnovers, 6 in the game against Atlanta. So that's problematic. But Jaylen Brown's been doing so many other things. You know, some of those turnovers are excusable. Some of them are not. And generally you're saying, okay, you got to clean that up. But you do so many other things that still helping the team tremendously. So Jaylen Brown was big against the Atlanta Hawks. This is one of those games where Cantor kind of looked unplayable. They just destroyed him on the pick and roll, him and Collins. And Collins took a hard fall and left the game with a tailbone bruise. So that helped the Celtics. I hate saying that because, you know, it's because of an injury, but look, the Celtics benefited from that. But if Collins had been in the game, who knows how the Celtics would have done in this one. With Collins and Trae Young, who Lloyd Pierce says is the best pick and roll combination in the league, which is trying to pump up his guys, but they're still pretty good. They really kind of destroyed the Celtics. And with Cantor out there, it's tough. I mean, you really got to go at Trae Young hard and force him to give the ball up and not be able to kind of survey things. You've got to really try to get the ball out of his hands in those situations. Because once he turns the corner, he's going to find somebody. Or if you're not up in his airspace, he'll just take a long three. So Cantor really, he's not going to play like that. So he looked bad early on. But then he came in later in the game, and without Collins, they didn't have that same pick and roll combination. And so Cantor looked okay. So that is a great example of when Cantor can look good and when he doesn't. And so I think obviously we're going to see Cantor in certain situational matchups. If he's playing a great pick and roll team, I just don't know. If the Celtics play Toronto, I just don't know. I don't know if they're what they're going to be able to do. But anyway, doesn't matter right now because the Celtics were able to get past Atlanta, and obviously with Collins hurt, they were able to kind of recover well. They ended up winning by 3, so it was a 16-point turnaround from the first quarter to the end. But it didn't happen without a game-saving block from Daniel Theis. Daniel Theis said, look, I knew he was going to go for the three. He wasn't going to go for the tie. He kind of had, Trae Young had Theis beat. Now, first of all, because Atlanta didn't have any timeouts, they just pushed the ball up the floor. And if they had called a timeout, Theis probably wouldn't have been in the game. But he was. He got switched onto Trae Young, and he knew Trae wasn't going to go past him. Even though he could have, and he had a lane, he wasn't going to go in for the game-tying basket. He wanted to win the game. Theis said, I knew he was going to try to win the game. So he just stopped and recovered and got a fingertip on the ball and saved the game. Now, that was an amazing play. Shout out to Daniel Theis for recognizing this and making that play. After that play, Marcus Smart got tangled up, let's say, in Trae Young. I totally believe that Marcus Smart was trying to step over Trae Young. And, or he was trying to, I don't know, send a message or something. Because Marcus Smart had had a frustrating game the entire night and was really upset with the officials and was up in the officials' faces throughout the whole game. He took an elbow from Trae Young, which admittedly that should have been an offensive foul on Young. And I don't think Smart could ever let that go. So I think Smart tried to do something there at the end. And they didn't call anything other than technical fouls on him. And I forget who else stepped in. They called a personal foul on Trae Young. Marcus was trying to do something. And that was one of the moments where I said it earlier in the game. I turned around to Tom and I said, this is going to be one of those games where Smart has a dust up with somebody. You could see it coming. He was frustrated the whole time. It was just, you can tell the emotions weren't right with Marcus Smart. And that's how it manifested itself. I guess no harm, no foul. Well, there was a foul. I guess no harm. Afterwards, Trae Young said that his teammates were all telling him something or other with that play. I wouldn't be surprised if in Atlanta, Smart is kind of welcomed by one of the Hawks. They've had issues before. Remember a year or two ago, Smart got into it with Bembry. Like, for some reason, the Celtics and Marcus Smart in Atlanta, it's just a little dicey. I don't know why he doesn't like the Hawks, but just keep an eye on that next Atlanta game. When is that next Atlanta game ever? Anyway, I thought they played later on in January, but apparently they don't. They play in February on the 3rd in Atlanta on a Monday, and then on that 7th at home that same week on Friday. So next month, just keep that in the back of our heads for what happens next month. And hopefully Marcus against Washington is a little bit more composed, because again, no Kemba, possibly no Romeo Langford, because the plague is running through the Celtics locker room. I feel better, which is good. And I feel good enough to keep doing this podcast on a daily basis. I had to take one podcast off last week because of it, but we're here. We're going to do it Monday through Friday, free and daily. You don't have to download any special app to do it. You can just subscribe to this podcast wherever, and you can get this delivered to your phone, to your device, to wherever. You can always ask your smart device to play podcast Locked On Celtics as well. Again, Monday through Friday, free and daily. It's going to be there for you. By the way, check out our partner podcast, Locked On Patriots, Locked On Bruins. And if you are a fan of other teams, there's probably a Locked On NFL, Locked On NHL podcast. There's Locked On Colleges, all that stuff. And of course, Locked On NBA, which is Monday through Friday, and I do the Wednesday show. Regular listeners, please give me that 5-star rating. Please give me that 5-star review and a good written review. And share the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.